Our reading for today is from 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You should be familiar with 2 Peter chapter 1, at least up through verse 11, from our study earlier this year when we studied all of these qualities and we talked about growth. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. If you want to go back and review those, they're still on our YouTube channel. And you can go and look at our study of those that was a little bit more in-depth than we're going to be addressing here on this reading. So Peter writes his second letter and he comes with his introduction saying, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing. The apostles didn't put themselves above everybody else. Salvation was for all who believe. And salvation put them all on that equal footing, even though the apostles had a special role and a special set of gifts that God gave them in order to accomplish that role. Namely, they were given a multitude of gifts that were miraculous, as well as the ability to impart some gifts to others. Outside of that, they never put themselves above everybody else, nor did they ever look down on everybody. And so I like the way Peter puts this introduction. It's a comforting way for him to address them, and it's a way that expresses some brotherly love. So that equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, that standing comes from God and not from anybody else. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. It's not just a greeting, it's a desire for them. It's a desire that they have that grace and peace. Expounding upon this in verse 3, he says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That means He does not hold anything back. He does not withdraw anything that is needed. He thoroughly equips us to be able to be a child of God, to act righteously, to be guided by the wisdom of God in all areas of our life. And so He gives us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. referencing the Savior Jesus Christ there. And then verse 4, by which, okay, this knowledge of Him who called us, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. So it is by the Word that we come to understand who Jesus is, what He did for us, how to take advantage of His sacrifice, how to have a relationship with God, how to live faithfully to Him. And so it is by that knowledge that we gain those promises. The power of God is still there, and it is still the grace of God. But without the Word, we have no way to gain these things. And so we may then become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. You know, as sin produces death, and we want to escape that death. We want to escape that corruption. And so, based on these things, based on that desire that they all have in common, based on the fact that they are partakers of those promises, then they need to grow. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge. And he gives this list that we talked about at length before. But we also pointed out that a lot of these things are interdependent. So, you can't have, for instance, faith without knowledge. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Until you hear, you can't have faith. So faith is required. Knowledge is required. We cannot follow His will without self-control. We cannot be steadfast without self-control. We cannot be godly without self-control, steadfastness, faith, knowledge. Brotherly affection can't truly be there until we have the godliness. And you see how all of these things work together. That's why you need to grow in them, because as one grows, another grows, and they all grow together. And then he says in verse 8, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, you're working on them, you're growing in them, you're focusing on them, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. As long as you're growing in them, you're always going to be bearing fruit because you're following the Word of God. As long as we're following the Word of God, we will produce fruit that comes from following the Word of God. So whoever lacks these qualities, though, they're so nearsighted that they're blind, forgotten that they were cleansed from former sins. If we stop working on them, we stop thinking about them, they will begin to diminish in our lives. And it's like we can't realize that we were cleansed of our sins and we don't need to go back to what we were before. We don't need to lose what we have gained. So brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. As long as you're focusing on God and working on those things, then you'll always have His grace and you'll always be in His fellowship. We're working to walk in the light. That's what he's talking about. So you'll be richly provided an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he says, therefore, because of all of this, I intend to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. So he says, I'm not telling you anything new. This is not some additional revelation. These are things you've heard before. But as he says in verse 13, as long as I'm still around, I'm going to keep reminding you about these things. We need repetition. We need things to be brought up again so that we have them in our minds and we refocus on things. We have a tendency to forget things, even things that we know. Have you ever had a sermon that was preached and you thought, well, I've heard a sermon on this topic before, but, you know, I forgot about that. I forgot about that point. Well, when we're not focusing on things, we tend to forget. So they need to be stirred up by way of reminder from time to time. And in verse 14, he points out, I know that my time is limited. I'm making the best use of the time that I have in doing this. So I will make every effort so that after he's gone, after his departure, then all those that are reading and all those that are paying attention will be able to recall these things, and it will still be useful to them. Then he goes on to explain in verse 16, for we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we made known to you the truth that is based upon God. Nobody made it up. Nobody passed around these myths? No. No, he says, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So they knew the truth first hand. And so when they received it from the apostles, they received it from those who had it first hand. Verse 17, for when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He's referring to one of those times in which the silence of heaven was broken, that God the Father spoke from heaven. You can see that in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5. So he says, we were eyewitnesses. We heard this voice because we were there. We ourselves heard this voice, verse 18, born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. Verse 19, we have something more sure. Well, what can be more sure than hearing God himself speak from heaven? Well, that is to see God's prophetic word that is saved and written and inspired. So we have something more sure than that, the prophetic word, which you will do well to pay attention to. So you don't have to take it just from them. You have God's prophetic word to guide you. You can go right to the source, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. It didn't come from any, again, back to what he said in verse 16, nobody made this up. Nobody passed it down. It wasn't a rumor. It wasn't hearsay. It was first-hand knowledge. Well, prophecy of Scripture comes from inspiration from God to that prophet. Verse 21, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. No man can force it. No man can come up with it without God producing it, without God inspiring it. So men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That concludes chapter 1 for us. On our next reading, we will begin with chapter 2. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.